Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And gosh, I have a special guest for you guys today. I have Rabbi Melinda Braha Bernstein. And a mutual friend connected us recently, and she just, oh my gosh, I'm just so excited for many reasons. She, of course, is going to share her personal Lyme journey with us, you know, to give us that hope and inspiration of getting through this tough battle. And then we're going to touch on some things that she does, that she offers in the community. She has built what I believe is just an incredible roadmap to many different things that it could lead off of. And so we're going to touch on a few different things during this show, and I'm just super excited to bring it to you. So thank you so much, Melinda, for taking the time to join me and to be vulnerable and just share with us. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure, and it's a blessing to be here with Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And wow, we're going to go beyond the beyond today in our talk.
We are. You know, when I was, for many of the listeners, they know I've been doing a podcast for many years, and just earlier this year, I started my own. And when I was trying to come up with the title, I'm like, now what would be a good title for this, right? And I thought, it's not just ever Lyme, you know, it's the co-infections, it's mold, it's parasites, it's part of a grieving process, it's part of the emotional journey that we go through. And I thought beyond just seemed like the perfect word, right? So we are definitely going to touch on all the things beyond Lyme as well during this show. So I'm excited.
For sure.
So where do we start? I want to talk about your journey first. And so do you know when it started? Do you recall? Sometimes we don't figure it out until after the fact when we piece things together.
For sure, for sure. Actually, it was beyond a long time ago. I think I'm going to use the word beyond a lot today.
I love it.
I'm moving beyond my consciousness when I tell you the story of my Lyme journey, really. It started out, I would say, a year and a half ago, It was May of 2023 when I was performing. I was on my way to a wedding. I stopped by the cemetery to visit my father and nine of my ancestors at their graves. And I was deeply thinking about my future. I had been performing weddings and funerals and hundreds of them and guiding so many people. And I was feeling really sluggish. And I was looking for some kind of insight. So here I am at the grave of my ancestors. And the message I received is that I needed to prepare for a profound change. Now, you know, ancestors don't always tell you exactly what that looks like, unless you're like some sort of a psychic, which I don't claim to be, just slightly medically intuitive and spiritually intuitive, of course. I thought the change was about allowing a divine partnership with a man. So I began to prepare for that. In fact, that summer, after I came back from that journey, I wrote this long blog called Journey of Redemption, which really encapsulated the events of my life to date. And I really shared a lot of my vulnerabilities as a woman and what I had done to overcome some of the obstacles that were previously in my way. A few months later, after all this, Israel was invaded and there was barbaric acts were witnessed like all over the world. And it was a really wild time. The mind games were going along with, you know, what happens with war, violence, politics, and our interpersonal relationships and our friendships. Everybody's breaking off at the seams of what appears to be this chronic dysregulation of our nervous system. So that's where I was. I was in a chronic dysregulated state in my nervous system, and I knew that I needed some answers. So I I looked online. I found a new office, functional medicine, that was offering some of the things that I was interested in to be more functional, as well as have some hormones adjusted for me. And this was in February of 2024. By April of 2024, I went to them. I found out I had chronic Lyme disease. And it was determined that I must have gotten it at least 9 years ago when I was living in Northern California. So the irony of this whole story is that when I was living in Northern California, I was actually living in my highest expression. Now, I don't mean getting high. There was plenty of that going on around me. But I was just high in my spirit and my heart being able to leave Florida, which was, for me, very densely unconscious communities, or I like to call it just basic people doing basic things that for me didn't enliven me. So these communities in this open space, my goodness, I mean, I was in love with walking. I was a little bit afraid to do hikes by myself because I felt like I was going to get pretty lost pretty easily. So I kind of stayed on the periphery, but that really doesn't matter when deers are walking down the street. So here I am transforming the hardest lessons of my life, like generational trauma, family taboos, and personal dramas that went along with my marriage. And in all that transformation, I was more alive as a woman and as a rabbi than I ever was. So I come back to Florida when my father, of blessed memory, whose death date is 9 years ago today. Okay, I came back and I had these prolific experiences helping my father move on into the next world, being with my basic family who does basic things every day, and eventually found myself going to move in and support and care for my mom. Soon after I did that, my knee swelled up to like, I couldn't even bend it like a half an inch. Something was really bad. And yet all I did was go to a functional medicine doctor eventually. And we thought it was, I do have a sensitivity to gluten and dairy, but, and in California and my life before that, I was eating really well and doing all my holistic self-care the way that I like to. So I come back to this grieving process and here, you know, we're a bunch of nice Jewish people from Miami Beach. And what do you eat? Bagels and cream cheese. Well, I just attribute it to that it's got to be my gut. And that was in 2016 that I went to that doctor. So now we're 8 years and it's almost 9 years since I returned, almost 10 years since I returned back. And I've been just doing my life the way I've been doing, and everything was great up until the horrific events that happened in Israel.
Wow. That's a lot to kind of unpack and kind of dissect, right? And coincidentally, I got my tick bite in Northern California. That's where I was born and raised and got it right in my front yard, right? And I actually got a bullseye rash. Little did I know what that truly meant. I had no idea. I thought it was just a very weird spider bite. So tough lesson to learn for sure. So yes, I know. And today is, you know, a date on your calendar for your father. And we're certainly gonna, I want to dive into that a little bit further. Cause that was kind of part of your healing as well and where you are. And so I don't want to miss out on that. So take us back to, do you remember, you just are assuming that was where you got the bite? Did you get a bullseye rash? Did you have like little issues maybe leading up to, you know, the big event a couple years ago, or was it just kind of, it just all hit you at once? You know, cause a lot of times, when I have my guests on, you know, they'll say, you know, come to think of it, kind of my whole life, you know, I had this issue or I would randomly get sick. And so we kind of tie it all together. So I always just get a little curious about what do we know now, right? What didn't we know?
Well, I'll encapsulate a little bit. I did have a clue as to, you know, who I was prior to getting this swelling in my knee that happened while we're grieving and eating bagels and cream cheese and helping my father let go, right? So that's enough of a stressor. But if I go back 40 years prior to that, I had been injected with steroids in my back, lower back, for like a small pinched nerve. And I went from feeling small pinched nerve to 3 months in bed from extreme pain. By the time I got out of there, I went to an osteopath and he said, "You have fibromyalgia." And when I asked him, "What is that?" And he says, "Well, there's no test to prove it." And I said, "Well, then there's no fibromyalgia. So get out of town. I'm not taking any of those meds." And I've lived my life like that. But if I look back at all the little itises and thingies that I've been dealing with, a lot of it has to do with just being a woman who didn't know how to speak up for herself or was taught just to be nice and find yourself a guy. And hopefully that'll all work out like my brothers, right? So I have this stellar family and mine didn't work out. And it was a trauma wounded relationship that helped keep inside these pains that were crying out. So when fast forward to my time in California, they weren't crying anymore. They were like, it was completely transformed. And then to come back to all of a sudden experience that great trauma again, just reminded me of the cry out, you know, all the cries that the cellular energy carries. It's a cellular memory that carries our trauma. So like other people who have PTSD from, you know, their tick bite, I don't know when it happened to me, but I do know that when I was in Lake County, there used to be this place where I would go dance. It was on a lake and they had a little platform where you could walk out to do your fishing or put your boat, come to your boat, your little boat, because it was a little lake, right? And I remember dancing because that was my path of expression, and it still is. Embodiment is very important to me. I felt a little something in my knee that said, you know, said, "Oh, you might not be able to dance too much more." But I didn't have anything other than that. I didn't see any kind of bullseye. I didn't have any fever. I didn't have any of those other things. And I, even to this day, since my diagnosis, the way I treated it was I did IV ozone. I did 10 sessions of them. I prayed. I took herbs. I did lymphatic drainage for myself. I learned how to do it for myself. I went for acupuncture. I took nature walks. I also expressed myself in the ways that were, I stepped back from officiating. I stepped back from a lot of family gatherings. I tended to my self-care. I tended to my hormones. I started to receive bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I'm 66. So I was, you know, 15 years post-menopause and having menopause symptoms too. So I think that entire scenario of this one stressor brought everything to light of what was harboring inside of my cellular memory, that it was all just coming out. Really, really hard stuff. But in my IV ozone treatments, I was meditating and envisioning my blood being cleaned and inviting my ancestors to help me with that and feeling Mother Earth to help me with that. And looking at the people in my life who'd harm me and unbeknownst to them because they're not conscious of my needs yet because I'm not expressing it fully, right? So how can they be supportive of me if they don't understand me? And how can I explain myself when I have Lyme fog? So I had to sort of close the bubble. And the bubble was not so simple to close because, "Hi, Ma, come say hi." I'll tell you one reason why. My beautiful mom. Stick her out. This is B. Say hi to Trish. Tanya, sorry.
Hi, B.
Oh, I took my ear out.
So she can't hear. She didn't want to hear. Okay, thank you for saying hi and blessing us with your beauty.
Yeah.
B, my beautiful. Okay, you can go. My beautiful, so I'm caring for my beautiful mom, right? And she's the best. We get along great because I'm a Capricorn, she's a Pisces. So we're like the perfect sisters and mother daughter. And yet here I am in this bubble that I got to care for her. And I'm like, I got to call out the cavalry. You know, I have to let my family know that I am I'm not enlivened to care for her because it's just too much stress. So one of my stressors with her is just, they're so simple. Like I see that she's eating something and she might be having trouble. I remember that she was I thought she was choking, but she was just coughing because she had like a string bean. But here goes the reaction of the line, like, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a nurse. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then I'm realizing I can't do this anymore. So next month, just because I have asked the cavalry, my family, to come out and do something drastic, and my mother's ready to go to independent living. She's going to go to the mall. She's going to go to the beauty parlor. She has a friend to play bingo with. They have a whole calendar of activities, and she's going to be busier than me. And so it's great. But that was my work. And I use a roadmap like I've been doing since 2008, which is my practical guide to basically dealing, feeling, and healing our way through the darkness and into the light of our lives. It's, you know, you got your monkey mind, you got your brain, you got your two sides of your brain, and they're always playing a game. You want to go high or you want to go low. Well, my health journey and my karmic journey is to go high in the health and see that height in everybody I meet. So people are always going to be letting me down because I see them at their highest light. And unless I can explain to them in their highest light a good way for them to be in that light, then there's going to be that friction. So, you know, when the lime bubble burst, okay, and the blood was getting clean, so too was the expression. And it's been remarkable. I've really had I've taken on everything that I could take on, including closure with my ex-husband, who, God bless him, he gave me two children and we had 20 years together. And I bless every day that he has someone to love him and keep him healthy and clean to the best of her ability. So these things are important to me. Everything is really important to me. My children should have a wonderful experience with both of their parents. And that it was always a priority to me. I did not want to give that up, but I had to when Lyme hit. You know, that was one of the, okay, this is a no for now.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And so much of it is for now, right? And I really want the listeners to grasp onto those words because we have to make so many changes, right? Like you have to surround yourself with things that are going to raise your vibration, right? Give you good energy. And a lot of times so many things don't during this journey. And it's really tough to let so many things go that we really don't want to, but we have to for our health. And, you know, so much of it is mindset, right? Our mindset, our thoughts, the spirituality of it. Again, the good, positive vibration, the energy that we give, that we receive. And then that emotional side as well, right? Like you had a lot of emotions going on. And I truly believe that when we go through this journey, right? So I'm going to use this beyond word, like you said.
Yeah.
When we go through this journey, so we have to acknowledge and accept, right? This is where we are. This is the chapter that we're in. We have to kill the Lyme. We have to kill the pathogens. We have to kill the mold, whatever it is that our particular journey is taking us down. We have to rid all of that, right? But then we also go through what I even refer to as like a grieving process. And I think that that is part of grieving the old us, right? Will we ever be the same? And I didn't like that part of my journey because I really liked my life and I really liked who I was as a person. And I know I sound like a broken record when I say this, but the journey that I went through with my Lyme, I mean, it just is nothing short of just amazing blessings that came from it, right? But we don't know that at the time. And so I am definitely a different person than I used to be. And there's just so many great things to take from that and learn from that. And then, like you had mentioned earlier, Melinda, that you know, you have a lot of emotional trauma back in the day. And if that inhibits our healing, like it really does. And I think so many people don't understand the strength that can hold onto us and inhibit us from truly healing. And so, you know, we go through the killing, the acknowledgement, the grieving, then we go through this whole emotional part of it where we really have to heal our emotions. Do we have blocked, trapped emotions that we need to have released? Like just so much of it in every part of the journey, I think is just as important as the next one, you know, to fully heal and to stay well. So amen, that is why, that is why I think that, you know, this, I was reading through the roadmap that you had created, and I just think it just touches on so many things that I just said, right? And it kind of, you dive deeper into it, and it just, I think it's a beautiful thing. So if you want, if you're ready, I'd love for you to kind of take us down your roadmap navigation, whatever it is that you call it, and kind of just describe each one. And I also love that when you shared the link with me, it, you know, it is the roadmap, and then each of it is the R-O-A-D-M-A-P, right? It starts with that. So that's perfect. Who can forget that? So let's start with R to it.
Well, rah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Here we are. I think like I have had a lot of chapters, and I want to just address, I was in a real bad chapter of grief when I wrote it. I was in life coaching school, and I'd also had my training in Kundalini yoga as well. And I was proficient in Jewish prayer because I was 10 years with Orthodoxy in my marriage. So I had like the energy systems and the Buddhist thought of letting go in my heart when I was trying to let go and become a life coach. And what happened was that was my thesis. I wrote a roadmap, and my teacher at the time was, he didn't quite understand how I was coaching people because I was so eclectic. I wasn't in my head. I was like talking about energy, and he was trying to understand that, but he just let it go. He let me roll because the people, you could see like in the class, he'd watch their body expression, like how they received me. And he'd be like, everybody wanted to know more. So I was in a place where I wanted and needed more. I was in terrible grief over my divorce. And I had a lot of childhood, I don't want to call it abandonment because it was a perceived abandonment that my family was protecting me from. One secret that happened the summer I was 14, my father wasn't living at home and my mother was crying and my brothers were acting normal. So, and I didn't know how to ask. Again, I'm a Capricorn that we barely ever know what we're thinking half the time. And when we figure it out, you know, we have to be alone in our experience. So I was alone in my experience as a child, and my brothers were protecting me. They were always told not to bother me. So I felt sort of annoyed, ignored and abandoned. So I had this abandonment wound with God when I was writing this roadmap because I was so hurt. I was like, God, I did all this for you. Why didn't my marriage work out? I was more hurt that God didn't give me what I wanted. And I gave God what God wanted. Little did I know God wants me to be teaching the roadmap and on a road with a map because I don't know where I'm going next. And all I know is I want to have fun and I want it to be deep and I want to share wisdom. And those three things are what keep driving me. So back to the R, I took responsibility for my health, for my problems, for my whatever I was feeling that was dark and negative and painful and hurtful. And I explored that by being open to change, meaning that I had to do different things. Buddha was going to be my new teacher. Hello, Buddha. Teach me how to let go. Wow, wow, wow. No big deal. This is feeling good. Sorry, God, you know, sorry, the Orthodox God, we're putting you on a shelf for now, right? I'm open to change, and I've already done my dancing, and I've already done my kundalini, and I already know the snakes are in the garden, right? I'm open to change, and I don't want to get bit by a snake, or rather in this show, more appropriately, bit by a tick. So I'm going to be open to change. And I sure was open. My heart was opening. I was looking for answers and all this. And then what happens when your heart opens and you do the different things? You get new awarenesses. That's the third step. So I'm looking for these awarenesses. Do these awarenesses make me feel like I'm doing the right thing? Is my body sort of sensing that I'm on the good path? If so, then I keep going to the next step. D, determination, discernment, discipline. Otherwise, if I don't do it right, I'm going to get desperation and doubt. And sometimes those things are even a driving force too. Let's face it, I don't want to be depressed. So now I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to be open to change. If I'm not doing it right when I'm on the road, then I got to go back to the first step and take responsibility for something. There was something that wasn't fitting well into the equation. And it's like a vicious cycle. When we get triggered with our Lyme symptoms, we're going to have to go back to, it's not easy being on a Lyme road. So now we have the map. Okay. You got the discipline and determination. Okay. I'm going to manifest something. I want healing, right? Of course. So that's step number five. I'm going to manifest something, and I want it to be major. I want it to be magnificent. I want it to be marvelous. I mean, you can think of all the letters you want to. I don't want to be miserable, right? So I'm playing the game. Misery's over here. Marvelous is over here. Ping pong in my head because I have a Libra moon. And for those who know that, I require perfect balance in my emotions. And if I don't have them, the world's going to hear. The world is going to hear. As a third child who always had to scream to get attention, one of my mentors once said, well, good for you. That's working for you right now. So, you know, I'm manifesting something, right? I'm manifesting a good result. Now, the hardest two steps are allowing the possibility. I'm going to allow it. How am I going to allow all this goodness to come in? I'm not used to it. I'm used to feeling really small. I have to expand. I have to learn how to allow that. I have to go back to those awarenesses. I have to tap into them and bring them into my allowing space so I can live into my possibility, my purpose, my passion, my peace, my prosperity. In Judaism, we call it parnassa. That's money. That's success. You know, I don't want people to pity me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want them to say, poor Melinda. I want protection. I want protection too. So how do I protect myself? I have the energy processes of the Kabbalah. We have 10 energy centers. If we have them all moving and grooving the way that our God intended them to be within us, then we're healing. And that's my work. That's the true work of what I do. I take it back to, how can I use Kabbalah? How can I use astrology? How can I use my ancestors to get to the heart of the matter of what's going on? What's going on? I'll start singing Barry. What is this? Marvin Gaye? Marvin Gaye or Barry White? Yeah.
So no, that's the roadmap. That's just, I love it. And I'm just going to, if you don't mind, if I can take over part of your show, right? So I'd like to, you know, we all have different beliefs and different, you know, people that we worship or look up to, or different spirituality journeys. And we're just all different, right? And I think that that's what makes the world so beautiful, right? We have different personalities. And so just as you were kind of describing the roadmap, I'd like to just describe it quickly. In just the things that immediately pop up into my head as far as my journey and the letters that you're using and the words that you're using for the roadmap. And maybe for the listeners, it could help them kind of, you know, pull it more into what they're going through as well. So yes, when you say R for responsibility, we have to be responsible for ourselves, right? For sure we do, because it's almost like becoming our own advocate. We have to protect our space. We have to protect what we think our heart and our gut is telling us, because we get gaslit a lot along this journey, right? By different doctors. And then that brings me to the O of open to change. And you got to get curious, right? If what you're doing isn't working. And I know that most of us grow up in traditional homes with traditional Western medicine, and that isn't always the answer for us, right? And if we don't, if we aren't open to change, we may never find the tool that could truly heal us from this Lyme. And then awareness about our bodies, right? How is our bodies responding to what we're ingesting, what we're surrounding it with, you know, just many, many different senses of all of our senses that we offer. And then determination, right? Like, mindset, you're determined. If you're not focused and if you do not dedicate your time to your healing journey, I mean, what do we get if we don't dedicate ourselves to our job or our work, right? Like, we probably get fired. So we got to be determined. And then manifestation. And I think this is just so much of the mindset too, right? Like, we've got to, I've mentioned to people that I work with that if you're going to go with a protocol with your doctor, right? So you've got this doctor, you're going to go with this protocol. It might be a little outside your box. I don't know. You really have to walk away with a mindset that this is my plan. This is what's going to get me either well or one step closer to being better, right? You got to be all in it in your mind. And so manifest that, right?
And then, I want to say something. I want to stop you because when you have Lyme fog, you don't always do that right choice. And I also should have said to you that I was on antibiotics for, they suggested 3 months, but when they saw my labs, they realized that I didn't need it that long. And I stopped, but I did not want to do that. But I was open to change and trying the conventional way. You know, because
the way that we know,
yeah,
we don't know what we don't know.
right.
Yes,
so anyways,
we don't.
Go ahead.
And then for allowing, you know, like allow these things to transform within you. Allow, accept the changes that are going on in your body, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And then the P for a possibility that you will get well, right? And how is this going to change your life? And I can almost assure you it's going to change it for the better. So many amazing possibilities come from us going through these journeys because we truly heal our mind, body, spirit, soul, and everything along this journey because that's what it takes to get well. So absolutely right. Did not want to change your roadmap, but I just thought that might be a little fun journey to go down with using your roadmap and me kind of interjecting my own little things that I learned along my journey for it.
That's what I do with clients. I give them the roadmap so I can reflect back their highest self in their roadmap. So I certainly would want you to share yours. And why don't you share something that you're going through now that is bringing you into your possibility?
You know, I struggle with boundaries, right? Who doesn't? I don't know if if I'm honest, I probably never really did have boundaries even before Lyme disease, right? And being in the field and doing the work that I do within the Lyme community, right? Like, it truly fills my heart and my soul. And you know, you mentioned earlier that the term abandonment, right? We're using it loosely in your situation. And I'm going to use it loosely in mine, in the fact that this disease is very isolating. It's very lonely. But yet, I had the most amazing support system, my friends, my family, and I'm so grateful for that because I hear so often that people don't have that, right? And if you're listening right now and you're in that category of not having that support system, please know that you're not alone, because this Lyme community, the communities we have, you know, on social media, they're incredible. You are never alone. You never need to battle this alone, for sure. But I think that just setting boundaries within the community, right? So you had mentioned all your traits from being a Capricorn. Well, I'm a Virgo. I know that I'm pretty much a perfectionist, right? But I'm not sure much further than that what my astrology tells me about me, but I'm very empathetic and I catch myself, you know, taking on other people's emotions and carrying their baggage a little bit, you know? So all of us, we're all human. We'll often lay in bed at night and think about all the stuff, you know, oh my gosh, what, you know, holidays are coming up, right? How can I provide the gifts for my children that I want to? Or, you know, you're having problems at work. You worry about the stress. How do you pay this bill? There's just so many stressors in this world in general. And then when I hear people's stories, I can obviously resonate so well with it, right? Because I did this journey for 13 years. And so I'll lay in bed at night and worry about what they worry about. And I'm like, oh gosh, Tanya, that is not good, right? Where is my boundary? Where do I draw that line? And so that is something I struggle with. But I think, you know, going back to acknowledging it, right, is the first step to conquering it.
That's right. That's right. And I was sharing with a client just yesterday or the day before, sometimes what I do, and here's my little stack of notes. I got these papers, and when I have something that I want to pray for or someone that I want, that I'm carrying in my heart, right? There's a good poem by E.E. Cummings that I read a lot at weddings, "Carry You in My Heart." I don't remember it right now, but I want to carry them in my heart. So I'm going to write something about them, to them, for them, with God, or my prayers, or even if it's concerns or worries about them, put it in here. And I've got this vase. There's no flowers in it, but there's notes. And I put these notes in here. And this is this vase I bought for myself because it's a Jewish saying, a woman of valor who can find her worth is far above rubies. And it's really beautiful. I know that your people can't see it, but what it's saying is, I want to be a woman of valor. So what I need to do is see these other people as a woman of valor or a man of valor and see them in their highest good. And I put my concerns in here, or I put my joy when I see them flip their switch to something better. And there it is next to, you know, my candle. I hope and pray that I go to bed without them in my, because then I'm going to have nightmares or, you know, or roll around in bed a lot.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. It's almost, you know, probably a lot of people have heard of like the little blessing jar, right? That you can order on Amazon and have notes and, you know, write things in there and stuff like that. It's almost, you know, because sometimes we go through just life, right? Lime, not lime. And we run across these obstacles that we struggle with. And so what do? We sweep them under that rug, right? Pretty soon the rug is not so smooth and when we're not standing on stable ground because we have swept so much under that rug. And I love that idea of that jar of writing it out, right? So we're getting out. And I think journaling during our Lyme journey is an incredible healing tool. And it's free, right? Not many things along the journey are free. So that is one. Journaling, sometimes saying things out loud or writing them down, really can release those bad emotions inside of you and get rid of that negative energy. And so I just might have to incorporate that little jar in there and write things down. I love that idea. You know, it's the simple things that we don't think about. How do we not think about that, right? And that's why community is so great, and to be able to collaborate and talk and share stories, because we can all learn something and take something away from it. And one of my friends recently said to me, why don't you try, before I jump on a phone call with somebody that I'm kind of helping navigate through their journey, why don't you just try saying a little prayer, right? For peace and protect your emotions. And I thought, gosh, you know, I pray often, but never thought about that one. So love all the ideas. I love it. Thank you so much. All right, Melinda, I want to, before we end, I want to make sure we get to really talk about, you know, I know you mentioned earlier today's a date on your calendar, 9 years since your father's passed. And I know that his journey played a lot into your journey and what you're about and who you are. And, you know, along all of that was also, you know, the grieving process of losing a loved one. And I think that I mentioned earlier, part of this journey is like a grieving process. And it's great to, you know, you can actually go on Google and, you know, Google the steps of the grieving process, and you could probably feel every single one of them, not by the loss of a loved one, but by the loss of your life that you knew, right? So can we talk about your father? I know it's, you know, and a lot of times talking about things, right? It's a healing journey for us. I know when you mentioned earlier, you were not in a good place in your life when you wrote the roadmap, right? And I think a lot of times when we get outside of our box or outside of our comfort zone, a lot of times what we may be doing, the roadmap to benefit others, is really also a healing tool for ourselves, you know?
Oh, yes, it was.
So, yeah. And so hopefully that you sharing is going to be nothing but positive things. And so I just want you to share with me and the listeners about how your father's death just played a huge role in your life.
It really did. excuse me, not necessarily his death, but when about a year after he passed, I had a bad dream that he was drunk and bent over. And I was feeling guilty as a religious guilt that I didn't say the proper prayers for him, the prayers properly for him that you're supposed to when your parent dies or your sibling or your child. And I contacted my friend who does Jewish ancestral healing work, and I prepared myself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally to receive her wisdom. And I learned on the first session, I traveled up like an ancestral tree from my father's side until to get my father from being bent to being straight and in that loving space of the afterlife that would make him well. Because when you have a dream like that, as a rabbi, I was clear what I needed to do. And because I was such a clear channel in my meditative practices personally, that first session allowed me to envision, or it could have been some of the lime, right? I could have been delusional from the lime, but this worked for me.
Yeah.
So this is the funny thing. Like it worked to my, I have managed to allow the lime to work in my best interest, although back then I didn't even know it. But in my meditation with him, I kept seeing who died before him. Were they well? No. Who died before that one? Were they well? No. And I kept going like, I'm feeling in my body. Does this feel well? Does this feel well? Does this feel well? Until we get to the first father's father on my father's side. And I'm looking, I'm thinking I'm supposed to see an image or something, but all I see is like this amazing big bright light, big bright light. It was like my whole head and my whole body just started to feel this. I know I'm there. I know I've met my well-wise, healed ancestor that's going to, on my father's side, that's going to help bring him up this ladder. If you call it a ladder of everlasting love, you know, all your lineage and that enabled him to be received. And all of the men on the father's side, you got your father's mother's side, your mother's mother and your mother's father. So I had all four to work with, which I did in 2 years' time. But that first experience for me was, okay, I'm definitely connected to my father's side in a really strong way. And we fixed this. That was 2017. I started getting busy as a rabbi back then, like really busy. And everything sort of took off So I know that in my Lyme journey, when I came to get ill, was I hearing from him? Yeah, I heard from him at the grave when I started to make shifts prior to this Israel invasion. I heard from him throughout to go. I felt like he's guiding me. And yet I wasn't sure how he was going to handle my family, because he loves my mom and he loves his sons and they all have their basic lives, right? So I'm not a basic person by any stretch of the imagination. And I just like, I think they're great. They're very professional and exceptional. They have great marriages. They're both married interfaith. And so they have different lineage in their children. And my children, one is religious with three children, and one is like me, a free spirit, and goes snowboarding off of mountains in Alaska. So, you know, we have
it's all this, those different personalities that make the world beautiful, so, right?
and what was my father going to say about them? Like, you got to have, I'm here. I need you more. I'm the one talking to you in the afterlife. So it's 9 years now. And I think that this, because nine, if you know the Enneagram nine, that number is a healing number. And that is my karmic in this life is healing. So I know that he's with me. And I had I'll just wrap this up. I had an experience at cranial sacral therapy the other day, a couple of weeks ago. And it was actually my first or second one. And she says, oh, the first one, because I'm vulnerable. I share who I am and what I want. I've had this cranial sacral before. And she says to me, she was on over my right side. She says, do you have any spirit guides in your life? And I said, yeah, I have my father. And she said, well, he's looking down on you. He's looking, I see a man, a male presence bent over and very peaceful and smiling.
Wow.
I kid you not. This was a few weeks ago when I was at the place in my constriction. I didn't know when my mom was going to be moving out. I didn't know how the moving parts were going to be with all my family, because now we have financial matters to discuss. And I didn't know, I was purging all of these misbeliefs that, you know, the neurological system can do to us. And yes, that was the moment when I said, because I said to her, yeah, my dad, but I haven't heard from him in a long time. And to the fact that she said that he was bending over. That was wild.
Wow. It really is just amazing that the spirituality of the world, right? And the energies that we release off of each other and the energies we can gain from each other. And I mean, it truly is incredible. And I'm sure many can resonate with this. You know, you say you have just two people in your lives, not in your lives, friend, random people. You can have a 2-minute conversation with one of them and you are completely drained. Like, I need to go home, take a nap, have a cocktail, not sure, but that was a lot, right? And then you can have the same conversation with a different person for 2 minutes and feel energized and revived. It's that energy, the vibration that they're giving off of their bodies, right? That is what we want to surround ourselves with, right? The good energy, the negative. That's incredible. That's an incredible experience to have.
Yeah. My son calls those people energy vampires. And he's like, I'm not going there. And I'm like, look, and I'm going to show you my papers again. Bless this person on. Because they, you know, they're not as big as you right now in your awareness, but keep going, you know, but don't make it like they're chasing me. And this is what happens with, you know, our psyche. Our psyche is a beautiful landscape that we can fill with our own garden. But when you have that one person or two persons that, you know, just wants to do whatever they're used to doing, and maybe they don't know how to treat you. Maybe this is someone that's important to you in your life, like my son. Okay. Yeah. I have these experiences with him now. He doesn't believe in Lyme. So I have that going on. And in that exchange, you know, I'd like to write him a lot of notes, and yet I want to see him because he's my kid. Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to ever feel like there's some, you have to be learn to articulate your no's. I would say that if you say, instead of thinking it as boundary from the spiritual perspective, you could think of it as, I'm going to bless this person onward. And then I'm going to bless myself more because I know that I've felt something from them that didn't feel right. And I need the blessings more than they do. But when I bless them, I also bless myself.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Your son, the energy vampires. It's funny, you know, there's a, our bodies are light and energy. I mean, they just are. That's how we were created. There's a great book. My gosh, it's been many years since I read it. It's by Dr. Neil Tennant. I think Neil is his first name. And it's, is it Healing is Voltage or The Body is Voltage? Something about that. It's an incredible book about how our body works. And it's not just, you know, many, many people, right? Maybe basic people. I don't know. They have different thoughts about the different things, the tools, the modalities that we can utilize during our Lyme treatment, right? And they're not open to change. They're not curious. And curious has lately been one of my favorite words because I think it's important to get curious about what is out there, right? The world is just, you know, not necessarily a safe or happy, healthy place anymore. And we've got to get curious about what is good for us and what will work for us and be open to things. And I know that's part of your roadmap. So I love it. I love it. Well, Melinda, this has been just enlightening, fun, I think full of just great information and just good reminders for me as well, right? Like I'm well, I'm living my life, but we always can use reminders, right? Or little tips that maybe we didn't think of. Small, simple things. So I hope the listeners, I'm sure there's many things that they can take from you sharing with us. And I truly appreciate you taking the time to share.
I appreciate you for putting yourself out there and bringing us beyond with our experience today. Thank you so much. And my Father blesses you with good health and your new and improved way of bringing your podcast out to the world. And I hope it keeps getting better.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.